Hi, I'm Philip Shepherd. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this amazing once-in-a-lifetime conference, and especially to the Meditation and Breathwork channel, which I'm proud to be sponsoring because meditation and breathwork are essential to my teachings. I'm the founder of the Embodied Present Process, or TEP, which is based on my two books and is taught worldwide. And here's one thing I believe about meditation and breathwork. You limit your experience of both if you imagine that your mind is just the thoughts in your head. Your mind permeates your every cell. Every stirring of energy within your body is an expression of it. So, if you wish to calm your mind, the most direct route is to develop the skills that enable you to feel the body's energy and ground it in the spaciousness of the present. That's what my work is about. If that appeals to you, I hope you'll check out my two presentations, one on this channel and one on the main stage. You might also be interested in a special offer exclusive to the Embodiment Conference to listen to one of my embodied meditations for yourself for free. You can find a link to the special offer in the description of this presentation or on the show notes. And now, enjoy the presentation.
And let me just share with you a really short introduction to Giri, and I will leave the stage to her. So Giri is a registered holistic nutritionist, yoga instructor, chakra dance facilitator, and transformational breath trainer. She is the co-developer of the Breathe in Recovery online program and the creator of the CD Inner Peace in Recovery. Giri began teaching at rehabilitation centers over 20 years ago. She shares a variety of embodiment practices that have assisted her in her 26 plus years of recovery from addiction, trauma, and an eating disorder. Giri, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and passion with us today. The stage is all yours now.
Thank you so much for having me. So a brief introduction. Of course, there's more to that story, but we have so much to share with you today that I don't know how much I really want to add to that because our time is short. So I am in recovery myself from addiction and eating disorder, anxiety, depression, trauma, traumatic brain injury for many years. And I wanted to share with you what has helped me and that I in turn shared with others. Because I feel like the practices helped me, and I'm no different than anyone else, so they must be helpful for others. So that's what I've been doing for the last 20 years in rehabilitation facilities and outside. But the focus of the talk today will be about the work that is with inpatients in medical detox and residential rehabilitation. So I just wanted to start so we could kind of land in the space here with a very short practice of a bumblebee breath, which is, we love to use it because it's great for that mind that kind of challenging to disengage and also very good for addiction, anxiety, and depression. So if you haven't practiced it before, it's just making a humming type sound. So we can do it with closing the ear lobes off just gently. I have these earbuds in, so I'm just going to show you with my thumbs that I could bring the earlobes forward just slightly. If you don't feel comfortable with that, that's not necessary. And we'll just do three breaths. And of course, my breath capacity may be different from yours. So just three of your own natural, fairly deep breaths on the inhale, coming in through the nose. And then as you exhale, also through the nose, you're going to just make that bumblebee sound. I like to keep my lips just slightly touching, teeth slightly touching, and the tongue just at the front of the mouth, near the teeth at the roof. So let's just do that together. I invite you to feel it and notice what is going on when we do these three breaths. So taking a deep breath in through the nose. And come back to normal breath. Just notice how that feels. Maybe you can even type in the chat if you feel called. The other thing that I like to use a lot is a sigh, just releasing through the mouth. So we'll take a deep breath in. Somebody said they feel very alive. Yes, you're really starting to get the energy body moving. I find it just brings me here now into this present moment, which all of the embodiment practices do for me, but this is pretty quick. So that's what we like sometimes to have some things at our fingertips that are pretty immediate. Yeah. So working with people in early recovery, I found that these practices have helped people feel better faster, and they really need to know that there's a possibility for that without the use of drugs. So we present these things to them, and I was first amazed at how well some of the things went over, and how open-minded and courageous people were to really show up for the practices and be right there. Sometimes having an audience that's feeling quite desperate in the moment, as I definitely was, is a good thing. You know, some people over the years have said, "Oh, Giri, how is it working with people in rehab?" Thinking that it was a challenge, you know, but in fact, it was the opposite. Desperation really breeds willingness at times. So we'll get to the practices. I'll just share the screen here. May I share my screen? Yeah, okay. Saying host disabled participant screen sharing.
You should be all set now. I've promoted you to co-host.
Okay, here we go. So this is me, and this is how it all started. Really, I wasn't drinking and smoking a cigar that day, but I didn't really start till 12, the ripe old age of 12. But it does kind of show the lifestyle that I was brought up in. You know, there was a lot of addiction around me, and to the grown-ups that surrounded me on that day, I guess they thought this was a cute picture to take, and in a way it is, and in a way it tells a story. So you can take from that what you will. So I wanted to start with just an overview of the different practices that I've been taking in to people in residential rehab. So I'm not going to get in depth with a lot of these, pretty self-explanatory, but certain things really became quite obvious that there were really important things to the students, and they got the most out of them. So I really focused more on them. I did transformational breath 3, 4, 5 times a week at different facilities for over 10 years. And I'll be sharing a little bit of the results of that in a little bit. But the most beautiful benefits from transformational breath and yoga nidra, the benefits from those two practices, I feel really far outweighed anything in allowing people to finally feel safe in their body. We started out with probably 16 people in a group 3 times a week at one facility, and just me as a facilitator. And if you know anything about transformational breath, it's a very hands-on modality, and it was wild, the amount of integration that took place in those classes. Some years later, I was able to get the class down to 8, and it was a little more manageable. But now when I think back of the nerve I had to go in there and to breathe 16 people at once, but it was an amazing experience for the students, and we'll get into that a little bit later. So you can see the different things around the circle. A very brief introduction to Ayurveda, and we would do that sometimes in the yoga class. My yoga classes were not really that much asana based, although we did do gentle asanas. I was really just trying to get people into a relaxation state. So we did a lot of yoga nidra guided relaxation and very slow movements. And, you know, people show up with an idea of what yoga is sometimes, and maybe they've heard about yoga that's a little more vigorous. And so I would have to maybe get my point across that. Now, this may not seem like something that's really doing a lot of good to the body, because you're not building big muscles, but there's other benefits, and we would talk about those benefits and introduce a little self-massage and getting hands-on their own body. That was an eye-opener for most people in the cooking, mindful cooking classes, and in the yoga classes. So the guided relaxation and coloring that you see down at the bottom, that was mostly done in the medical detox. So people were still feeling pretty sick at that point. And in both cases, rehab and detox, the biggest symptom that people reported to me is anxiety. Probably very shocking to me that only in a sample of 200 people from medical detox, only one person even mentioned cravings. And I found that to be rather astounding. But anxiety was way up, and we'll see what that looks like here. So if you cut this in half, the left side and the right side, these first group of people on the left side are 147 clients that filled out a questionnaire, and the questions were, have you been diagnosed with PTSD? Are you a veteran? How are you feeling right now? And then how are you feeling afterwards? So the ones on the left are people that said no to having PTSD and no to being a veteran. Just working with myself and many folks over the years, I can tell you that many of these people had trauma, but they had just come into the system and they hadn't been diagnosed yet. So when we get to the residential folks, we see more people have an actual diagnosis. So if you want to compare the anxiety level before the class and after the class, that's about a 20-minute guided relaxation. So I find that to be extremely significant. People were really quite shocked, having just come off of drugs, that you could become so relaxed after just 20 minutes of guided relaxation. Of course, I wasn't too shocked at that point, but there's definitely a time when I was. So I knew where they were coming from. Then we have this line of anger where you start out there and this is where we finish. Again, I feel that's pretty significant. Isolation is a big symptom, feeling like you're all alone in all of this. And then we come down. This is, I think all of these numbers to me seem significant. Pain is another, you know, big reason why people started using drugs in the first place. So when you do 20 minutes of relaxation and realize that your pain level can go from there to there, that's a great realization to have, a great awareness. Wow, I could do this practice on my own or with the guidance of a facilitator or YouTube, and I could get significant results. And then I thought I'd throw this joy question in just to see what people would say. And these people had a much higher joy level than I did when I was detoxing, but okay, that's great when they started out and then when they finished. So pretty significant findings, I think. And then just take a look over at the right side and just glance over those numbers. To me, the numbers speak for themselves. You know, these are people with that either are veterans, have PTSD, or just have PTSD and are not veterans. All right. So I wanted to show this slide because it really looks to me like we have to take baby steps, you know, when we're teaching people to these practices that allow them to be in the body. So for so many years, they've not felt safe there. We can't just throw them in and expect that everything will go smoothly most of the time. So I always instruct people when I would do the practices, stay with the practice as long as you can. But if it feels like you're becoming overwhelmed, it's perfectly fine to back off. Let the mind wander off away from the practice. Do what you need to do to take care of yourself. Then if you feel like it's safe to come back, come back. Always be listening to my voice in the background. That's the anchor to bring you back to the practice. I feel like that gentle approach is necessary with people that are still living with unresolved trauma. I just wanted to quickly show you these piles of paper. This is what I was working with to get the testimonials together. This pile is the anxiety pile. I put things into categories, different symptoms. And I don't know if the picture does it justice, but the anxiety pile is a lot bigger than any of the other piles. All right, just to quickly look at this before and after transformational breath. Now we're switching to the residential clients now. I do not do transformational breath with people who are in a detox phase of their treatment. It's just a little bit too detoxing, and I feel like the guided relaxation was the best thing to offer them. So these are just like before and after. So before, exhausted. After, rested, balanced. Exhausted, rejuvenated. Tired, I'm not tired. Blah, peacefulness, serenity, more energy, I feel amazing. Down, at ease, rejuvenated. Tired, I feel amazing. Pissed, I think that means angry. I feel happy, thank you for the comfort. So it goes on and on. And this is basically what I was seeing every day. These are just some testimonials for just in general. So the first question is, how do they feel before? Do they have PTSD? And are they a veteran? And then how they feel after the session. So you can, I'm not going to go through all of them because of time, but you can easily see that people have amazing results. And again, people who are in pain or not feeling well physically, so many times people think there's no other way to feel better than to take some medication or drug. There's a trigger warning here. Please take care of yourself. There is a testimonial here that does talk about sexual abuse. So please do what you need to do for yourself. I'm not going to read it out loud. This is part of the anxiety and stress category. Some of the stories that I heard were so overwhelming. The amount of healing that took place in just a half an hour, actually, of transformational breath. Usually our sessions are 1 hour, but because of time, you know, the actual breathing part would usually only be 1.5 hours. So the amount of healing that took place was always, every day I would walk out of there just amazed at the changes and the integration that would happen for people who were suffering for so many years with particular issues. And so I wanted to include some questionable results. I didn't really have another word for that. People that maybe didn't get the same benefit as most. So I had 2,000 samples here that I was drawing from, and 2% of the people reported results like this, that maybe were, so someone here is saying, I just feel so hopeless, and that's even after the session. Honestly, I couldn't stay focused because a lot is on my mind. So I thought it was only fair that I would include some of these type of answers. So it wasn't always the benefit that I personally, that my ego might have been looking for. But I feel like there's a time and a place for everything. All right. So I just wanted to throw that up there. A lot of people came with ideas about what their how things made them feel, drugs. I feel like if you look at the testimonials, you can see that neurotransmitters were being activated by looking at what the comments are. There are comments like, I feel more confident. I feel like I can trust again. And of course the painkillers. So all of the neurotransmitters, I think are being activated when we do the breathing. I didn't put any of the testimonials up, but I also have a lot of people say that they feel like this was better than any drug they've ever done, you know, and of course not with any negative side effects, and also with healing taking place. So I understand that this is only the beginning, but I think it's a great beginning. I wish I would have had something like this in my early days. It would have made things, I believe, a lot easier for me, a lot less suffering, you know. Because by the time you arrive in detox, I think you've suffered enough. There's always a story that got you there. All right, so I'm gonna stop sharing, and I wanted to share with you a breath journey that my partner Govinda has created, a beautiful soundtrack for you to breathe with. I feel like everyone pretty much can participate in the breath journey. How you participate is going to be up to you. If you feel like you're a really experienced breather, which I know we have some here with us, and you know how you will respond pretty much and know how to take care of you if things come up for you, then by all means, please, you're welcome to breathe with your mouth open. Otherwise, I'm going to invite you to breathe with your mouth closed, just because it's a little less activating, and because I can't see everyone. Although we're doing sessions online now, they're one-on-one, or if there's groups, there's more than one facilitator, so we can each look at just a few boxes and see how everyone's doing and give guidance on that. So I would feel more comfortable that you would breathe with a closed mouth if you are new to this type of conscious connected breathing. So we're not going to do what is called the registered trademarked transformational breath that I'm trained in, but it's going to be a conscious connected breath. So it's more of an integrative breath. I do invite you to use any sound. I guess most people are muted, so they will not have to worry about anyone hearing them. They could use sound and some movement too. I bring in movement even more now into my breath sessions. And because I was working with a lot of people, and myself included, had a lot of sexual trauma, so in the lower part of the body, I started to do a lot of like wiggling in my body to get that energy moving that kind of at times had felt a little stuck there for me. So we can move the arms and we can move the shoulders and we can do this wiggling. And I feel like that helps to move energy and helps to kind of manage any kind of sensations that may come up that maybe aren't that comfortable for you. It's common that you might have a little like tingly type feeling or even like a numbness type feeling. And we would just like to keep that energy moving. And just know that you are always in complete control. So at any time you could stop if you wanted, or you could slow your breath down. I am instructing on the breath, but you don't have to listen to those instructions if they're not working for you. You always have the opportunity to listen to your own self, slow right down, or even stop and come back if you feel that that's comfortable for you. But always know you're in complete control. I'm excited to breathe with people now online because I feel it gives them a more of a sense of empowerment because they're touching their own bodies rather than me touching them when we were doing the hands-on in-person sessions, which I hope to do again soon. but I'm really blown away by the results of the online sessions because I had no, we've never done that before. So I had no idea what kind of results we'd get. And the energy is still there, even though we're, you know, many miles away, and the empowerment that I feel like it gives people to carry on in their own practice and not just wait to be breathed when they have the opportunity. So I am excited for you to give it a go if you haven't breathed online before. I know there's been quite a few opportunities in the conference. I've breathed with a few people. So perhaps you will try one more time. Should we ask if there's any questions before we get started with the music, like that has to do with the practice, or we're good to go? All right. So find a comfortable spot and you can sit up or lie down. Try to be supported on your back if you can, like lean up against something. I also like to have some kind of a blanket on me because my temperature fluctuates a lot and I tend to go for cold, but then at times I get very hot as well. So when you're working with energy, anything can happen. So if you want to just make sure you're warm enough, and we will begin. So we're breathing in and out through the nose. Remember, you have that option if you're experienced. And we're going to connect the breaths. Stay aware and curious of any sensations in the body. Thank you. in and out, in and out. I am breathing in, I am breathing out. Energy flows effortless through me. Breathing in, breathing out. Abdomen expands on the inhalation. Abdomen falls back towards the spine on the exhalation. Expand, release. Expand, release. Expand, release. Effortless exhale. Keep the breath going. Feel the energy body as you continue to breathe. Feel the parts of your body that are touching the floor or your back. Notice as the breath comes in and out. If your breath is very strong in the belly, you can begin to bring the breath all the way to the chest. And exhale, relax. Connected breaths without any pause. I am breathing in. I am breathing out. I am breathing in. I am breathing out. Noticing any sensations that are there. Maybe some tingling. Maybe some visuals. Expand, relax. Expand, relax. Expand, relax. And at this time, I want you to continue to breathe. We're just going to slow it down just a little bit. Slow it down. And I want to offer this journey even deeper inside. Picture in your mind's eye a lake in front of you. And the lake is calm and clear. Continue to breathe. And you are approaching the lake. You're getting closer and closer. And as you come upon the lake, you peer down and you see a clear reflection of yourself. You see a clear reflection of the part of you that is beyond this body, beyond this mind. And beyond these ever-changing thoughts and emotions, you see part of you that is changeless. It's who you've always been at your very core and who you will always be. It is peace and love. What you are when you drop everything else away and you reconnect to that. Remembering who you really are. At your very core. Being with that peaceful part. We do so many things to try and get to this. Really, we just need to stop and let everything else fall away. Continuing to breathe, noticing any sensations, noticing any emotion. Now begin to come back, slowing your breath even more. Taking your own time. Maybe wiggling the fingers, toes, coming back to some movement, maybe a stretch. And joining us back when you feel ready. And we're back. So, how was that for you? I apologize for our music mishap. We worked so hard on recording a beautiful piece for you. And we did do a trial run and everything ran perfectly then. So sorry about that. The music is an important piece in our work. So I hope that you will have the opportunity to breathe with us again somehow with music. We will have a recording available for you on our website. Later today, I just have to record the voice. The music will be what you missed out on today. So you could try breathing with it at a later time. Is there any question? I'm not hearing Aggie. I'm not hearing you. Should I be?
Yeah, it looks like we're having some, or Aggie's having some issues with her mic right now. But while she gets that.
I can hear you now. Now I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh.
Yeah, we're just having trouble hearing
all
Aggie.
Along?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Aggie, okay.
Yes. Yes.
I can see her lips moving, but I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah. But while she gets that ironed out, we do have some questions in the Q&A, some questions and some observations. So first, related to the practice, we have some questions about the speed of breathing, like what's the intended speed? And is it important to stop as soon as you feel discomfort, or is it good to breathe through it?
Oh, that's a good question. First of all, the speed, I guess it's kind of the same answer. It really depends on how far you want to go with it. And I mean, I know myself after breathing for many years that I can push myself. But if someone who you know, just kind of came around and had a lot of unresolved trauma, I would be much more careful, because we can easily activate something that if there's no one around to support us in integrating it, it could become an issue. So we always want to be safe first. A lot of people just always want to go for it with everything. And I used to be one of those people, so I get that. But in this work, there's, you know, so much suppressed and repressed and in the subconscious that could come up. We always want to be safe first. So I would say for some of us, like for me, I know when I can breathe through something at this point, but it always wasn't like that. My very first experience with this breath, with our beloved teacher, Judith Kravitz, who presented the breath and how to do it. If you're interested, you'll get a lot more guidance from that video on this channel. She breathed me a personal private session. And I was in complete terror for most of the session and for most of my beginning sessions, probably for my first 20, 25 sessions, the standout reaction was terror. I mean, I wasn't just a little afraid, I was in terror. And that's how she described it. I didn't really know what was going on because I couldn't see me, but she could see me. And she said, that was terror. So there are things in the subconscious that we're not aware of that we could be accessing. And if there's no one there to support you, then we don't want anything to, we don't want people going off the rails, as they say. So please keep that in mind. And, you know, some people say to me when I tell them that, why would you want to do breath work again after your whole experience with terror? And the answer is that beneath that terror and at the very end, I had the peace. You know, I integrated whatever I had the terror from, and then the peace came. And I felt the powerfulness of this work in that day. I had never really been exposed to anything quite so powerful. I was already a yoga teacher and I had done many different modalities, but nothing that blew my mind like that. And that's why I continued to go. So if I'm with somebody together alone and they start to go into an overwhelming state, I'm there to kind of control it and talk them through it. So then I feel a lot more confidence in pushing them a little bit more. But if you're on your own, take it easy.
Yeah, it sounds like with any of these practices that can be really transformative and healing, it's also really important to have good guidance because of the power of the practice.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we have some more questions about the pace of the breathing, but I see that we are at 56 past the hour. Maybe do you want to give a few brief words about thoughts on that, and then we can conclude?
Can you hear me?
So it's kind of like.
So a little bit more emphasis on the inhalation. After all, that's what we're doing here. We're bringing in the breath, and the exhale is completely just let go. There's no forcing out. You know, we are taught the different types of breathing patterns that people might have, and one of them is this like pushing out the exhale, you know, will just cause some issues. You're pushing out way more carbon dioxide than you're bringing in oxygen, so that balance of gases is out of balance, so you will have some symptoms from that. So we want to avoid that. We always just want to be That's the pace. If you can keep up with it, if that's not comfortable for you, then you may have to start off a little bit slower. especially if you're working on your own. But we want to keep the breath connected. That's the big important thing, is to not have any pausing between the breath, because we want to raise the vibration and we want to keep the vibration high. As soon as you make a pause, it drops back down.
Yeah.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I'm sure that we have a lot more we could unpack with staying connected to the breath. And I invite people to connect via your website. So I'll post the links in the chat again. And that way they can also access the recording that you have for us that that you are putting on there. If you all would like to continue the discussion, we have coffee break sessions afterwards that you can tune in on. I'll put those links in the chat as well. And we have the meditation and breathwork Facebook page where you can continue to discuss what you learned here and any of the other great material that we've covered so far in the conference. Let's see, so Giri, I'll come back to you at the end for just one more top tip for remaining embodied. Before then, I do wanna remind everyone that if you have the means, you are able to actually upgrade your account in the portal, and I put the link in the chat as well, so that you have access to all of the recordings, and that's for lifetime access. So a really great resource. As a volunteer, I'm really excited to get that myself and just have all the time in the world I need to really dive into a session, apply it. There's also other supports for learning included. There's audio only sessions, there's learning tracks given, you know, different topics that you can kind of pick up presentations through there. It's also what allows this conference to be offered freely live, and the recordings for all the sessions are available 48 hours afterwards, as well as so for this and any other session. And it's a big thank you to all of us. I know on the last day, many of us are, you know, very, very excited to have a breather, although I'm also personally very sad to not have these sessions to keep coming back to. Of course, have the recordings, which that'll be great. And one last thing, Giri, would you like to close out our session with one top tip for embodiment?
Yes, I'll offer one that you can do anywhere, anytime, because many of the things I do are not conducive to doing in the grocery store, or like the shaking or something. So I would say just to bring the awareness to the breath, notice the breath, take a very deep breath into the belly to slow down, right? This is connected. So maybe you have a chance at that time to do like a scan of the body. I start at the feet and I work my way up. Inhale, I notice my feet. Exhale, my feet are relaxed. Inhale, notice my legs. So, and carry on like that. So that to me, it works anywhere, anytime, and anyone can use it.
Yeah, slow down and scan. Thank you so much, Giri. I'm seeing a lot of gratitude in the chat, and hope you all enjoy the rest of your conference and the rest of your days.
Thank you.
Bye, and thank you, Aggie. Sorry to not get to hear you at the end.